Welcome. My name is Steve Dubin. Our podcast is Business Way Outside the Box by PR Works. Today we have our guest, Dave Sawyer, who is a background specialist. And Dave, welcome to our podcast. Can you please give us a quick introduction and bio about yourself?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it. I guess I'll give away my age a little bit by saying how many years I've been doing this, but I actually started in the security field back in the late 1970s. My goodness, that's a long time ago. Started out while I was in college working as a security guard and did some really strange assignments there, and, you know, guarding things like banks and apartment complexes and warehouses, all kinds of things. Worked my way up through the ranks, and I spent over 20 years as a security director and vice president of security for a large national apartment complex, a property management type company. And it was back in 2004 I decided to start Safer Places. And really the business model was modeled after my job description when I was that vice president of security. So all the things that I did for that company, I thought, well, if they like that service and need it, there must be others. And so background screening was part of what I did for that company. And some of the other things were kind of molded into the business. And so now I've been doing that for the last 15, 16 years under the Safer Places banner.
Well, great. Thank you for that background. You and I have known each other for almost a decade now, and I'm somewhat familiar with your business. And you have told me some funny stories or interesting stories about some of the background checks you've done and some of the things that you found, and then how to help clients sort of weigh their next step as to what they do with a candidate when they find information that may or may not be of great concern. Can you give us an example of that, of how you've helped out a client because you've uncovered something that was unusual and then helped them sort of guide them through making a decision as to whether that is a deal breaker or not?
Well, the example I think that comes to mind when you talk about helping clients in unusual situations, I remember one where we got a record that came back with a name match only that indicated that the person might be a registered sex offender. And obviously you don't want to accuse somebody of that unless you're really sure. And so you have to proceed with a little bit of caution there. We did some digging, and we couldn't find the underlying criminal complaint that would have made him a sex offender. So, I mean, if someone doesn't just wake up one day and decide they're going to register as a sex offender, there has to be a conviction somewhere. So we couldn't find that. And so we ended up deciding that the only thing we could do really was to call that subject of that background check and have a frank discussion with him. That's one that when you ask for volunteers to make that call, everybody takes one step backwards. So being the owner of the company, that was left to me. And I did talk with him, and the gentleman said, well, it's embarrassing, but when I was in college, I was at a party and had a little bit too much to drink. And I went outside to relieve myself, and somebody saw me, and I got charged with indecent exposure. And so now you almost start to feel sorry for the guy. I mean, you know, we've probably all been there at one point or another, and nature calls. And well, so we said, well, okay, you know, where were you convicted? And so we got a little more information from him. And the thing was that this happened so long ago, which is why we were having, I think it was over 12, close to 15 years. So that's why we're having a little trouble finding it. Well, with the information he gave us, we were able to dig a little bit further. It turns out that that was all a story. He was actually convicted of something a lot more serious than that. And it wasn't difficult for the client to make the decision. But you know, he was applying for a very high level position. It was kind of unbelievable that he would have had this on his record, but turned out he did.
Well, right. So that shows you that things are not always what they appear to be. And that's part of your business of making sure people are the authentic deal that they proclaim to be. And I know maybe you could sort of do a quick description for folks. Background checks people think of as a generic, singular component, but in reality, there really are a lot of choices, and maybe you can walk people through sort of the levels of choices and choices that might make sense for their kind of business.
Sure. Well, you know, the example that pops into my head is, you know, if you've ever been to, you and I have been married a long time, Steve, so we don't go to dating sites, but if people that do, they advertise. We do a background check on everybody, so it's safe to use our dating site. And I kind of chuckle at that because they're not known for doing in-depth background checks. They're very superficial. So you have to, it's kind of buyer beware. And we like to walk the client through what makes sense to go into your background check, because there's no such thing as a standard background check. People will call us up and say, oh, I just need something, you know, routine, something standard. And there's no such thing. So, you know, you almost always want to include a criminal record check. But even there, how far back do you want to go? How many jurisdictions do you want to check? So you have to make some decisions there. Do you want to include driving records, credit reports? Do you want to check previous employment and verify that they've got the experience that they said they did? Verify that they've got the degree that they claim that they have. So there's a lot of different components. There's no one size fits all. We like to talk to the client and talk about what's the inherent risks in the position they're hiring for, and kind of mold the background check around that.
Great, thank you for that explanation. And then just in general, I mean, how often do you run across someone misrepresenting themselves?
Well, I think the average is somewhere in the, 5-6% range. It varies sometimes by industry. You'll get higher hit ratios, they're called, in some professions, more so than others. Overall, it's fairly low. But you have to look at what the consequences when you do run across those. And it's certainly worth the consequences can be severe enough that it's worth doing some deep dives sometimes into making sure that people aren't misrepresenting themselves.
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to talk about my Nobel Peace Prize or some of my other accolades right now. We'll go right to the next question, which would be, in your recent new e-newsletter, you talked about, bringing employees back from furlough during post-COVIDian, pandemic, and some of the repercussions of that. Can you talk a little bit about, our current situation and how that impacts your world?
Yeah, well, there's been a trend recently to do background checks, even for people that have been continuously employed. So if you think about a background check is really a snapshot in time. So I'm applying for a job now and you do a background check and everything seems to check out and I'm fine. I work for you for 10 years. Have things changed? Has my financial situation changed? And so maybe I make some poor decisions that might reflect badly on me, the company. So that's just someone that's been continuously employed. Now you throw in COVID-19 and we're all operating from today. And so now I've been furloughed, say, for 6 months. And you're deciding, well, maybe it's time we can start to rebuild our workforce. We can bring people back. You've been out of touch with that person. Have they made some poor decisions or just because of life circumstances gotten themselves into trouble? Again, thinking about what is involved in that person's job. Are they a delivery driver? Maybe got into some depression, maybe. Maybe they started drinking a little bit too much while they had been on furlough and got a DUI. Is it worth checking to make sure that their driver's license is still valid, you know, as you're bringing them back to work?
Okay, yeah, those are legitimate concerns. The other thing I saw in your newsletter talked about sort of the new wild world of social media and what that reveals about job applicants. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, you know, I was emailing with a client the other day, and they were mentioning the social media checks. And they were one of the early adopters of those from our client base. More and more clients seem to be placing more weight, I guess I'll put it that way, on the social media checks. And I think the reason for that is, you know, a criminal record, whether you have one or you don't have one, driving records, those are all pretty black and white. Either you have a criminal record or you don't. With social media, though, I think it kind of rounds out the background check. And if you include that, you get a little bit of an insight. I guess I'd say think about it as an extension of the interview. Think about the purpose of an interview is to get to know somebody, get to know a little bit about their character and make some judgments there. And what they post on social media or what they like or share on social media is another window into that person's character. And so when we do social media searches, we ask the client to set some filters. What are they looking for? And so we will look for just those things that are important to the client and take away, redact everything else from that report so that they're not seeing things that they shouldn't see as an employer. For example, if you're looking at social media report and somebody says, "Oh, I'm so excited. We just found out I'm pregnant and we're expecting," and then you end up not hiring that person, you could be accused, even though maybe it wasn't the reason you didn't hire them. But if you've seen that, it's part of your background checking process. You could be accused of that, or age discrimination or racial discrimination. So we redact all that and just focus in on things like a person maybe that posts about illegal activities or racial intolerance or sexually explicit type of posts. And those are kind of things that I think speak well to someone's character and might cause a person, an HR person, to say, maybe we better, you know, put this one on pause and take a second look at this person.
Okay. And one of the areas I wanted to discuss with you was someone had mentioned to me, all of us have to be concerned about how Amazon wants to replace us some way or another, that there's going to be potentially an internet solution that replaces our service, in my case, public relations and marketing and advertising. In your case, there are online options for doing some forms of background check. How do you show value in the face of that discount and sometimes that ease of use?
Well, background checks, you know, we do automate as much of it as we can. Like a lot of businesses, you want to be efficient and you want to do a fast turnaround time. People are looking for the results as quickly as possible. So a portion of what we do is automated. But I don't see the human part of it being replaced anytime soon. You know, we can ask our software platform to look at what we call a social trace, which tells us where that person has held addresses, where they've resided. And that's where you want to concentrate on where to look for criminal records. The theory being, if I've lived in Massachusetts all my life, and if I have a criminal record, it's probably going to be there. But maybe if I just moved here from Louisiana, maybe we should look down there as well for a criminal record. So those kind of things can be automated. But the hard part is, you know, is piecing it together, making sure that all the components of the background check are present, making sure that the results or the information that we've uncovered is a match to that person. And sometimes that can be more of an art form. And then helping the client make the hiring decision. I think that's where the real challenges come in, is doing what we call an individualized assessment in assessing the results of the background check, comparing them to the inherent risks in the job position, and seeing if they're a good fit.
Okay, great. And sort of looking forward, you talked about the present. Looking forward in 5 years, how do you see your profession changing, if at all?
Well, the biggest thing that for us is education. So you mentioned at the beginning, people think of background checks as a commodity, and it's just it's a thing that you do because you have to, and it's so much more than that. And so we try to educate our clients and help them to navigate through all the choices that they have. And I don't really see that changing. I think that's always going to be the biggest thing that we as background screeners can do, is to make sure that our clients are well educated, not just in the background check components that they select, but then also in making sure that they are compliant with all the rules. That's probably where the biggest changes have come in our industry, is the regulations. We're a very heavily regulated industry at the federal level, then also at the state level, and a lot of times municipalities are even getting in on it and regulating what you can and cannot do in a background check if the person is employed in that jurisdiction.
And what about if you were to advise people of what red flags that they should really keep their eyes open for as they're looking at candidates? Are there some red flags that come to mind that are really making someone concerned?
Well, I think it's it goes back to just common sense, things that HR people have been doing for years, but leveraging the technology that we have today to help them with those decisions. So, a red flag has always been somebody that jumps from job to job and has a very short history of staying in a job, or those big gaps in between jobs. People will be very creative sometimes in explaining those gaps, but where a background check can come in handy is in verifying those reasons. So if they said, I was laid off because of COVID-19, well, that's happened to a lot of people, so that could be a legitimate reason, but maybe not. Maybe it was because they were incarcerated for those months. And so that's, I think where background screening can come in handy.
Okay. And an odd question, what would you be doing if you weren't doing this?
Well, as I that's a good question. With all this working from home, the thing that popped into my mind when you asked the question was I'd probably be retired in in this nice weather, be out on my boat. I'm lucky enough to live on a lake, so I'd probably be out enjoying the weather on a boat. But I will tell you, with we transitioned into working from home during this pandemic, and it's gone very smoothly. There were times too when people aren't doing a lot of hiring, and so things slowed down a little bit and gave me a little extra time. I didn't like it. I don't think I want to retire. I think I want to get things ramped back up and get busy and be in the office. And I'll maybe if I'm lucky enough, I'll be one of those people that can work right up until I'm in my 80s.
I wish you well either way. and my last question is, how do people reach you, and geographically, what is the scope of businesses you reach out to and help?
Well, we're located in Middleborough, Massachusetts. That's where our headquarters is. I am, as we're talking today, up in Maine. That's where I live, and so I have a home office. So we call that our satellite office up here in Maine. But we have clients all over the country. We're able to service a variety of clients all across the United States. We can even do criminal record searches and education verifications worldwide. It's a global economy. People move around a lot, so we're able to service clients just virtually anywhere, in a variety of industries. My background being in property management, we do have a lot of clients in that vertical, but over the years we've expanded quite a bit, and the list is pretty diverse.
Okay. And your website or other best way to reach you?
Okay. Well, so it's Safer Places, Inc., INC, saferplacesinc.com. My email address is david@saferplacesinc.com. So that's pretty easy to remember. And I guess I could throw out a phone number real quick, 508-947-0600.
Well, thank you very much, David. I think it's a really interesting business you have. And I want to conclude by saying business way outside the box. As a podcast, we're looking for unusual businesses that are interesting to hear about. If you have a business that is way outside the box, please contact us at prworkzone.com, and we will consider you as a future guest. David, thank you very much for being on. And I look forward to sharing additional business with you in the near future.
Well, thanks for having me on, Steve. I appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
All right. Take care.